Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Episode 422, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. A reminder, SenecaNiagaraCasino.com for the Hoops Hangout to watch March Madness. Make sure you check it out. A lot of fun things going on over there at Seneca. Thomas Vanek joining us today. And Craig's being a bit of a pain in the ass. So we're just kind of screwing with him here with the Zoom.
What an idiot. He
just more work for himself. Now he's got to type all the numbers back
in. Now he's got to type it all in. Hold on a sec here. What an absolute idiot. Oh, he's back. Fear of missing out, eh? Fear of missing out.
He's back.
Backwards hat today. I like it. He's ready to battle today.
That's it. Let's go.
Hey, did he send you the rundown of a conversation, Van? He sent it to me. He goes, ask Van this. But he sent it to me. I don't know why he didn't send it to him.
No, Riffs is, he doesn't respond to any of our texts anymore.
No, he doesn't. I asked him today. I said, are we doing a show today? He said, why wouldn't we? I said, I don't know, because you never responded to the text message.
And my response to that was?
I don't remember. I didn't read it.
Yeah,
exactly. I wouldn't know because I didn't get anything.
He said, if I had a problem with it, or I said, never heard from you about the time. He said, 9:30. He wrote, if I had a problem with it, I would have said something. And I wrote, a simple, that works, helps, eh? What I was thinking, though, when I was texting today? You know what I miss is T9 Word. Do you remember T9 Word?
And the What's old Nokia?
The old phones where you just like the ABC was on the one.
Yeah, the old Nokia phones.
You'd like hammer it down a few times. You don't remember that, Riv?
I don't.
Oh.
Is that on the flip phone?
I think I had it on my BlackBerry Pearl. Was the last phone I had that had T9 Word.
All right.
Or the Motorola Razr.
The Razr. That was a good phone.
That was one of the best phones they ever made.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
Not much. Just finishing up with the Twins. We're going to state. So one more week of hockey.
Well, that's actually where Craig wanted to ask you was Minnesota high school hockey.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy over there.
Oh, it's not much better, right?
Oh, it's fantastic. I think, the people that come, the atmosphere for those 4 days is just amazing. I don't like the system, how they do it. I don't think it showcases the best 8 teams in the high school league. But at the end of the day, I think just the passion for the game and, for those kids to play in those games is pretty special.
Now, do your boys do the hair?
So they're PVs and the whole team decided to bleach their hair because, they look up to the high school kids. So that's what they do.
Oh, okay.
What about your oldest one?
Well, we didn't make it to the X or, which is the XL Energy. So that's the goal for every high school team is make it to the X. And then, so we lost out on the way to get there.
So how many teams go there? How many teams play there?
There's 8 from single A, which are your smaller schools. And then the other division is 8 more teams out of the double A, which is your big schools. So 16 total boys teams.
And who are those schools? Is that like Shattuck?
No. So Shattuck is a tier 1 school. They're not allowed to play. So it's all the other, all the schools, like we're Stillwater, Edina won it this year. Edina is always good. Minnetonka.
Shattuck is the ultimate recruiting machine in the United States?
Well, for you guys, it's like the BK Selects, right? The Collins family, they built something in Rochester. So it's very similar to that. So Shattuck is obviously a great option, but a very expensive option.
I'm confused.
Shattuck is a tier one. So that's what the junior Sabres are and, you know, all the prep schools out east. So that's more common out east, all the prep schools. Shattuck in Minnesota is the only so-called prep school, boarding school. All these other, what you see on TV or all over social media, this high school tournament, that's strictly high school hockey. There's no, you live at home and you go to your school where you grew up. And well, I shouldn't say grew up. There's a lot of kids who transfer now like colleges, but you get the, I think you understand what I'm saying. It's just local high schools competing for a state title.
Yeah. Okay.
So why is it so good? Like, why is that hockey so sought after, so good? What is the model that Minnesota is doing to basically, you know, there's so many kids from Minnesota that are so high end as you get to the higher ranks. Like, how do they do it there?
Well, I think what's so great is that it's community based, right? I mean, we do have AAA hockey, but that's spring, summer, and fall. In the winter, it's community based. It's association hockey. So my boys, we live in Stillwater. This is where we have to play for. The town 20 minutes away, they have to play for their town. So by the time those kids get to high school, they have a pretty special bond with a lot of those boys because they've been grown up together as mites and squirts and peewees and bantams. So, and you see it in high school all the time. We have a lot of good players who are good enough to play in the USHL and they come back. A lot of them do the before and after. A lot of them just don't even go and they go and play juniors after they graduate high school just because they want to finish out school with their buddies and do something special.
Stillwater. That's the name of the band in Almost Famous.
God, here he is again. It has to tie in everything with movies.
No, literally like a squirrel chasing a nut every day.
No,
amazing.
You don't have to be some kind of a movie savant to know that. That movie's for our generation, that movie is an absolute classic. And Stillwater was the name of the band in the movie that the guy was following around from Rolling Stone.
Petey, were you even listening to what I'm saying? You were confused 5 minutes ago. I'm trying to explain this model to you, and this whole time you're thinking of...
Once you said we're Stillwater, I start going down.
He does, though, Van. Van, this is what he does. We're going to be on here for an hour and a half, just like we were yesterday. And then all of a sudden, Petey cuts it down and listens to it, and all of a sudden, we've got a 36-minute show. Because he realizes that he's like squirrel, like literally every 5 minutes on the show.
If you listened to the 25 minutes that I cut out.
Oh, here we go.
It would have been the part where I said to Craig, or he asked me, he said, so two teams, one from the East and one from the West, you think are now contenders after the trade deadline. I gave him my two teams and Craig goes, well, I have seven teams.
And I listened to it and I'm with him. I have seven teams as well.
I didn't ask you for two teams. I asked you who got better. And you came up with like two teams.
Pick
and
a team
like,
from the East and the West. You're
like,
you think is
you're
down.
Like
I said,
Rangers and Colorado. And I was like, okay. It. Anything else? No, not really. I think it Rangers and Colorado.
But that's where the conversation kicks in. And then you say, oh, yeah, why?
I'll just answer my own question.
Well, you do that. You ask
a
question.
You are good at that. Yeah, you are very good at that.
Well, as Thomas says.
Then I got to talk to myself.
No, but I get to listen to you again during editing. So it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
an hour and a half show yesterday, Vanner, turns into 36 minutes because PD didn't like
36
what
minutes
said.
Was perfect. That's all I had yesterday, so it worked out good for me.
But it was a good 36 minutes, though, wasn't it, Thomas?
Yeah, it was good.
And I don't think
I always enjoy it.
Yeah, would even realize it.
You know, the funny thing is, though, PD, what about the other minutes that the people that are listening would love to hear the conversation? Love to hear it. I thought the entire hour and a half, it was what, 120 you said? What happened to the rest of the show is what I'm trying to say.
He had shit going on. You think he wants to sit there for 2 hours and edit your shit all the time? At some point, he just cuts it off.
The entire show out. It's just like, I'm like, well, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing?
Hey, you know, that's the old Joe Sakic saying, sometimes less is more.
I put in the important shit. I put in the important shit, and I cut a lot of you out.
Terrible. All right, let's get this going. What do we got today?
Trade deadline, then, who, Thomas? If you agree with this fucking asshole, then who are the seven teams? Let's hear them.
I don't know about Riffs. What were your seven teams?
Well, you listened, didn't you?
Yeah, I think you said Winnipeg. I agree.
Carolina.
Colorado, Edmonton Oilers.
You know, the one guy, there you go. See, my memory is shit too, but when something pops in, I remember when you were talking about Colorado, I think the most important, maybe not important guy, but a big puzzle or big piece to the puzzle they got, and you didn't even mention, was that Trennan
from Nashville.
I like that kid. That's a horse. That's depth. That's playoff hockey. So, yeah, Colorado did a lot of solid things.
Well, they picked up a kid from Minnesota too. Obviously, Casey
Duhame.
Middlestad,
I think you called him. What did you call him?
What is it? Duhame.
Yeah.
Tough kid, right?
Yeah, plays on. I mean, deaf guys. It's obviously you need your star players to be good in the playoffs, but it's your deaf guys that really, you know, win you the series with a goal you don't expect at a time. So, yeah, a lot of good pickups for the Avalanche.
Well, what were the
Vegas
other teams?
Golden Knights?
What about Vegas?
Man, we should be used to this by now, right? Every year they come up with something where you're just puzzled. How did they just do this?
Yeah, well, I know it works. I know it has worked last year, but I'm just going to say this. I've been thinking about it. Because after I edited the show yesterday and then listened to everything that we discussed, I kind of want this to blow up in their face.
An organization is aggressive and they're going for it. I think that's the team you want to play for. That's the owner you want, who gives the green light to everything the GM wants to do. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, they tried. You can never fault them for not trying. I do agree with it's not going to be easy for them. I think Hanifin and Manta obviously slide in because they're healthy. But like a hurdle, I think that's a big picture move, because to come in the playoffs with a new team with zero chemistry, who knows if that's going to work out. But they got a great player for the next 6 years.
Understood, but we're also talking about a guy that's a 60-plus point guy. Right?
Yeah.
I'll take that. Player any day on my roster.
No, absolutely. But that's what I'm saying. It might not work out with Hurdle this year, because it is. I mean, I've been traded a couple times. It's not easy. You know, coming into a new locker room, you feel like you have to perform to kind of show your teammates that, hey, I'm here to battle with you guys and get to know you guys. But he doesn't even have the chance to do that in the regular season, because he can't come back till, I think, May. So to jump in with a new team in the playoffs is going to be hard to fit him in and then find some chemistry. But just like I mentioned, I think with the Hurdle deal, what Vegas did is it's more of a big picture that, hey, we have a stud player for the next 6 years, not just this playoff run.
So where does he fit in? Where does Thomas? Obviously, we know where Hanifin fits in. He's going to slot right in the top pair, I would imagine. But where does Hurdle fit in? Once he's healthy and Stone's healthy, and where do you feel that he fits in?
I think for this year they don't really care, because you know, by the time he's healthy, there might be another injury, so they slot him in wherever, you know, in the top six they need him to. But big picture, what has Vegas shown you? They're not very loyal. I mean, Riley Smith's been there for, you know, the whole time. They finally win the cup, and what do? See you later. They bring in somebody else. Marchessault, his deal is up. So maybe they're already looking at him. Okay, we don't have the money to sign Marchessault, who is our Conn Smythe winner, won us a Stanley Cup, 30-plus goals again this year. But, hey, we like Hurdle in there. A little bit younger. That's what we're going with.
I was wondering that too about Marchessault when I saw that deal, and then you go through their salary cap and you look at who's coming back and who's up and all that. And some, you know, Vegas is a team that has, and if you look at Chicago Blackhawks, if they would, what kept them relevant over the years was rotating and recycling players and getting rid of players that maybe they didn't want to.
Yep.
They held on to the core four or five guys: Keith, Seabrook, Kane, Taves. Yeah, Hossa was there. He was another one, but those were the core guys that they kept. And then that's kind of what it seems like Vegas is going to do.
Oh, for sure. You want an upgrade in goalie? You know, they get rid of Fleury, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They sign Pacioretty. They can get an upgrade. They feel like over Pacioretty, they ship him out. They did have a Stasny. So it's not.
You think a Jonathan Marchessault? You brought him up. Do you think a Jonathan Marchessault is a player that would take the hometown discount? Now, he is 33 years old. He's probably got five more years left in him.
Yeah.
He's got 35 goals this year, Van, in 64 games. You know, yeah. he's gonna hit the 40 goal mark. He's scored 30 goals multiple times. Do you see him? He's making $5 million right now. Do you see him signing the hometown discount to stay there?
I what does that look like? Like to me, if he hits the market, there's gonna be multiple teams there with a 4-year offer around the $8 million mark.
Well, I don't think that much. I really don't. He's
a top 10 scorer in the league. You just said he's gonna hit 40 goals.
Yeah.
He's,
listen, I get it. But you know as well as I do that at 33 years old, things can change very quickly.
That's why I said a 4-year deal. You just said right before I said a 4-year deal that he's got five more good years in him.
Yes, and that's why for me I wouldn't be paying him anywhere close to an $8 million salary. When I say hometown discount, you know, you're looking at probably heavy fives to $6 million. And basically saying, listen, I mean, if you go and sign in New York or any player in California where the taxes are really high, you know, $6 million in Vegas is, you know, $7.5, $8 million in California or New York state.
But the 4-year deal at eight in Nashville is the same as in Vegas, right?
Right. Heavy. Well, yeah.
Well, I'm curious about Marchessault, and I'm glad you brought that up because it was something I overlooked yesterday when we were talking about it. I'm thinking, where does Thomas Hertl fit in this team? And then he doesn't count against the cap, which is what these teams are legendary for doing these days. You know, another deal that I think people would want to hear from you on, Thomas, is the Casey Mittelstadt trade, because you've been on our show for, this is your second full hockey season, and you're a big fan of Casey Mittelstadt.
Pretty rare nowadays, I feel like. It's just a solid one-for-one hockey deal that's really benefits both teams. I think Colorado knows that Byram is a stud, but they got Makar. They got their stud. They got their horse. They got Taves. They got other defensemen, so they can part with him, but not just because they want to part with him, probably. But they were in need of a second line center, and they get that in Casey Mittelstadt, who's young and good. And they probably comes in cheaper than a Byram. A Byram is going to demand a big contract. So is Casey, but I think Byram will eventually get more, because a number one and two defenseman typically get paid quite a bit. So I think it's a good move for both teams. It really is.
You know, one thing I don't want to sound condescending when I say I hope there's a lesson learned here. But with a trade like this, I hope Kevin Adams walks away from it saying, in order to make your team better, you and fill a void in a specific area of need, you have to give something up. Mm-hmm. And I hope that Kevin Adams, and it sounds like he is after his press conference, is willing to start being a little more flexible in that area, because he's got so many assets and he's got a lot of holes to fill. And I say a lot, I mean, he's got 3 to 4 holes to fill. And on a roster, that's a lot of holes to fill. So that's something I hope comes out of this trade for the Sabres going forward.
For sure, PD, and you guys can attest to this as a player. I mean, we're not GMs, we're armchair GMs on here, but I mean, we as players know that not every move you're gonna win. But if you believe it's gonna make your team better, you do it. I mean, look at Tampa is a great example. I think how much did they give up for that Tanner Janot last year?
Crazy amount.
A crazy amount. But crazy amount. That's a GM who's won cups. It's a salary that they could fit in, and it's a player they needed. So they overpaid. But you know, people can look at it and be like, this is crazy. But in their system, in their structure, in their payroll, that deal works. So you have to overpay for it. And even if it doesn't work out, at least he gave his chance and his organization the best opportunity to win again.
Yeah, well, I mean this in no disrespect, but to Casey, I can appreciate his talent and his playmaking ability and things like that, but Bowen Byram automatically makes his team better in the lineup over Casey Mittelstadt, in my opinion.
Well, for a team like Buffalo, yes, because they need to keep bolstering that defense. But at the same time, I think Casey Mittelstadt makes the Colorado Avalanche better because they have defensemen that eat up a lot of ice. They can move the puck, but that need that second line center.
Yeah. Cale Makar, Devon Taves, Samuel Girard, Josh Manson. They picked up Sean Walker. They have a plethora of high-end defensemen. They don't need Bowen Byram as much as the Buffalo Sabres do. Correct. What's interesting about the Colorado Avalanche when you look at this hockey team is Casey Mittelstadt at the age of 25, turning 26, is the youngest forward on the team out of 13 forwards. He's 25, turning 26. They don't even have a 26-year-old on the team. Okay. So that's what you're getting with this team. This is a team that went through their struggles a long time ago with Nate McKinnon, years ago. And now they've built this team into a powerhouse. The defense core, for an example, the youngest defenseman on Colorado is 25 years old. We currently have our top five defensemen. Whether you say Owen Power, Darlene, Byram, Samuelson, and Joakim Harju, they're all under the age of 24. You get to understand the difference of the two different teams. One right now is playing to win championships. They're playing to win Stanley Cups. This team right here in Buffalo, we are so young here in Buffalo, it is off the chart. And it's only going to take time. You need to take time for this team. And we're all sick and tired of hearing the word, but develop and understand how to win games. Colorado years ago.
But let me stop you right there. I agree with you with everything you said right there. But the one thing that we all know, you can't win with young. You need youth in your lineup.
Yep.
But you need veterans' presence. And you can, those guys are available, maybe through trades, free agencies.
It's just real tough to get them here, Vanner, you know that.
Yeah, I mean, and I've said this before, right? And once you get to Buffalo, I mean, you're the perfect example, Rivs. You're going to love it. It's just, you have to get them there. And free agency is going to be tough for this team, extremely tough. So you have to do exactly what they did. You got to trade a good player to get a good player and trade for them, like a Byron.
That's right. It's the only way of doing it. And, you know, you're looking at the defense of the future. I think for the very first time in well over a decade that you can actually look at this defense core with Darlene, Bowen Byram, Owen Power, you know, Henry Joakim Harju, Matthias Samuelson. You're looking at a very, very young group of defensemen that are going to get only better, and they're going to be extremely good.
The only issue is with being young. Usually, typically, you win with young guys in the lineup when they don't make a lot of money, correct?
Correct, yep.
These guys are young, and they're all loaded.
Very true.
I mean, but is that, I don't even is know, that what going is Byram's, to... what's Byram's contract right now?
He makes 3.85.
For how much longer?
He has this year, and then he has one more year next year.
Yeah. And that number is jumping to 9.
It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of money.
So now you got, in 2 years, you got a bunch of young guys still at 24, 23, and they're going to average $9 million
a year. Yep. 11. Owen Power, 8.35, which starts next year. Bowen Byram the year after that. Who knows where he's going to go, because if he plays exceptionally well, then he's going to get a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then, you have to take into account the forward line. You have your Tage Thompsons, Cousins, the Tucks, guys like that. But it just seems right now that they need help. They actually need scoring. And I know J.J. Paterka has had a great year, and I know Jack Quinn, when he comes back, I think he's a real dynamic hockey player. But there still seems like on the forward line they're lacking some identity up there as a forward unit.
And the pieces that they need are going to be the hardest pieces to get, because now all of a sudden they are the most coveted players.
I'm not sure about that, PD. I think what they need is a 5-6 defenseman. I think those guys you can actually get in free agency.
Yep.
Are you going to have to pay them a bit more to go to Buffalo? Probably.
Connor Clifton.
But up front, you have to trade in players. Tom?
Oh, Craig whispered a name. But Thomas, that's what I'm talking about. The players that you need up front, you might be able to get a 5-6 defenseman, which is really right now all you need on the back end.
Yep.
Goaltending seems to be trending in the right direction. The pieces that you need up front are the ones that teams are asking a little more for than they used to. Like you just mentioned, Tanner Janot. You want to go get a player like Tanner Janot for this team, which just so you know, that's exactly what this team needs. That's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Okay.
But you have a lot of arms, and you have a lot of prospects, your legs in the minors. And to get guys like this, they're typically on teams that are in cap trouble. So getting rid of a guy like this and getting a young player in that's making 800 is desirable for the teams, right?
Well, I was the other day, I was super bored. So I sat down at Cap Friendly.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
That's tremendous research by you. That Casey Mittelstadt is the youngest forward. Did you see that, or did you research that yourself? I have to know.
I looked it up.
So you didn't see it on Twitter or someone? You did this yourself?
Yeah. I looked up their youngest player is Casey Mittelstadt at 25. The next youngest player is 27.
How old is that guy who they just put on injured reserve? That Logan O'Connor or whatever. But he's not in the lineup.
He's 27.
Okay. Wow. That's like I said, great research. I would have never guessed that.
You know, when you look at the Sabres too, I just think that, guys like Thompson and Tuck and Cousins and Paterka and Quinn, even a young player like Benson, who I don't think that we have any idea of what we're going to get out of him until he just continues to mature as a hockey player. He's only 18. But I was looking at, what would be the cost to go after a William Carrier? He was here in Buffalo before. What would it cost to get a player like him here? What would it cost us to get that Brandon DeLorum who just got traded from Minnesota to Colorado? That type of player. What do you have to pay for these types of guys?
Well, I mean,
because they're unrestricted free agents.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you meant in trade value. I'm like, well, Duhame's going to cost you a third round pick, because that's what it costs to Colorado.
No, he's an unrestricted free agent. Yeah, he's 26, turning 27. He's 6'2", over 200 pounds. He plays a pretty honest physical game. He's a good skater, And yeah, you'll probably be able to tell me more about this guy than anyone, Van, because I'm sure you watch Minnesota Wild and he's played.
I don't really know.
You know, he's a big kid that skates well.
Yeah.
And that's super physical and super honest. And it's for a fourth line, it's pretty much exactly what you want.
You know what it's going to cost? $500,000 more than every other team that he's going to get an offer from in an extra year. That's reality.
He's super young. He's only 26 currently right now. I'd pay him a 4 or 5 year deal to be here because we need guys like him in our lineup next year. We need some energy. We need some fan favorites that enjoy watching these. Like, everybody loves a Tage Thompson goal or a JJ Paterka snipe, or you know. But it's another thing to have fan favorites like the, you know, the Rob Rays and the Andrew Peters and the Patrick Coletta's and guys like that, where fans love these types of players.
Well, those are the grit and glue guys, right?
That's right.
Every team has those. The good teams, winning teams.
There you go. Every team has them. Yeah. And I'm just trying to look for, you know, certain players that, you know, you look if we're paying Kalik Poso 2.5 and you're paying Zemgus Girgens in 2.5, you know, the Brandon DeLorme, the guy that we're talking about, he's making $1.1 million, right? Duhane, he's making $1.1 million. You can't tell me that he wouldn't love to come here for a 4 year deal for $10 million.
He'll probably sign up for that.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time. And I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Starting Thursday, March 21st through Sunday, March 24th and Saturday, April 6th, it's the College Basketball Tournament Watch Parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends during March and April in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
This is the biggest week for the Sabres of the season. Detroit, Islanders, Detroit are your next three games. The season this week comes down, the season comes down to this week, in my opinion.
You can say that for a lot of teams, right?
Oh, you know what, man?
I don't know, Van.
I'm tired of your fucking answers. They're everything you do is just squashing everything I say.
Well, no, but
fuck.
They're four point games. The next three games.
This is the best quote I've ever heard, Pete. Hey. This is it. The next 7 days.
That's the edit right there. That's where it starts off. I ruled this team out two weeks ago, and
it's
the same thing
when people say, "God, if they would have beat Anaheim in game 42.
But guess what? I'm not doing that right now. I'm actually saying that the Sabres still have a chance.
Yeah, they do. Does Pitt have a chance?
No, they have a better chance than the Sabres.
They have a better chance than the Sabres.
They have two games in hand on the Sabres. Yeah. 1 point behind. If they win those two games, they're 3 points up. They're at, you know, 58 points or 68 points, and they're only 4 points out of a playoff spot.
Exactly, so, Riffs. But do you think Pitt very is a much playoff? Do you think Pitt is a playoff team?
I think they're more of a playoff team than the Sabres.
I think that team is
only say that because of our golden boy, Sidney Crosby, who's just still just, to me, is just awesome. Man, I love him. I love him. I love him, his personality. I love everything about what he's done in this game for the game of hockey, for kids, for everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm a big, big, big Sidney Crosby fan, so I would never count him out. But man, Sabres this week, six points could put them at 71 points. And
biggest
that would
week
be,
of the year.
It could be the most game-changing, iconic comeback ever, because in December, I had these guys out of the playoffs. I said, there's zero chance Buffalo Sabres are making. I cannot believe that we're even talking about the Sabres and playoffs. But it's a realistic possibility.
Well, I brought it up.
Biggest week of the year.
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, the season, listen, the season has been
no one is winning. There's six teams that are in the same spot. And you can lose two out of the next three, but the other teams are losing. The Islanders lost last night, too.
Yeah, well, what worries me is that those teams have the ability of winning at least three in a row. I'm not sure the Sabres have done that yet this year.
Yeah. You look at the Islanders.
Honest to God, I think we would have had a fucking celebration if they did. Did they win three in a row yet this year?
I think once.
Once, maybe? They might have had a three banger?
Yeah.
I got to go look.
The Islanders got beat last night, which is great for the Sabres, and ended a six-game winning streak. So the Islanders were out of it. They were nowhere to be found 2 weeks ago, and now all of a sudden they won six games in a row, and they're tied with Detroit Red Wings for the second wild card spot. The Sabres, if they can put a run together here, they can put themselves back in the race. And then with 10 games to go, you just see who can put it all together. And
They have not won three in a row. I'm back to November, and I know they didn't do it back then. They have not won three in a row. I'm even going to double check that. No. Three out of four. You know what Meatloaf used to say? Two out of three ain't bad, eh, boys? Two out of three ain't bad.
It's not, if you can do it consistently.
Two and then three and then two and then three is bad.
That is very bad.
Well, listen, I I'm just, people say we're too negative on the Sabres. And I'm just trying to see a little optimism and positivity here.
I don't think you guys, even when I'm not on, and obviously we talk a little Sabres, you guys do more when I'm not on. I don't think you guys are ever negative. I think you guys are
critical,
really honest about the situation, and that's what you want, is being realistic and not be always looking for, it's okay. I think it's that's what people want to hear.
We did not be in, not being Marty Baron and Brian Duff.
You said it.
I did say it.
Yeah. I don't listen to those guys, so I don't know.
They could make a chocolate sundae out of shit, man. I mean, they're doing a hell of a job down there trying to keep things together. So I got to give it to them. I know that that's what they got to do to try and keep things. But, man, listen, I mean, we're in a different situation. We get to basically, speak the truth about what's going on here. And it's only an opinion.
Like I said, and your opinion, and I agree with most of your opinions, but that has nothing to do with negativity.
I would love nothing more for this team to go on a little stretch run here and really put themselves in a position to do something special. That's what I'd love to do, because it hasn't been a great season. There's been expectations on the Sabres. I don't feel that they've lived up to that expectation, but they could do something real special here if they fought right to the end and... can you imagine them getting into the playoffs? That would be insane.
I hear you say fight to the end, and all I can think about is Celino Law, because you know that if you've been hurt in a car crash or need a personal injury attorney, those attorneys at Celino Law are going to fight to the very end to get you the most of what you deserve for your injuries. So if you need Celino Law, it's one number. It's 888-888-8888. Car crash, call Celino. Let them take the fight to the insurance companies for you. So the legend of Rempe continues. big elbow to the chin last night of Siegenthaler in New Jersey. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like the league is just looking for a reason to throw the book at this guy for something after the last time they played Jersey and ran Bastion and, you know, all the fights and everything. So what's he going to get? Because this is definitely going to be a suspension. And are they going to use an example out of him? Sorry. Are they going to use him as an example? Because it would be make an example out of him.
I don't know. I mean, we've talked about him last week.
How many times have you been suspended?
Zero. He's just got in the fucking league.
Yep. Yeah. Well, there's the start right there.
Well, he's already hurting guys. Like he elbowed that. He hurt the one guy. He left.
Riff cut me off there. Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Last week we talked, and we all agreed that every hit he's made so far, I don't think was dirty. This one last night, that was dirty.
You could throw a case in for Lyubushkin.
What was dirtier than that?
Because he took like 12 steps and left his feet.
He did. He took 12 steps because he's forechecking the guy, and then he planted him and absolutely went through him.
Well, there's a difference between, you know, a body check and separating a man to steal the puck and a guy running 12 feet, you know, and then leaving his feet.
He didn't leave his feet.
He left his job.
He left his feet after
His job's not to leave his feet. And now you have Ilya Lyubushkin who took the body check, who's now in concussion protocol.
Well, then he's got to be a better player. You got to put the onus on sometimes on the guy getting hit too. How does he not see him?
He probably did. And when you have 6'8" and 240 pounds coming at you, you can only brace yourself so much, right?
Nah.
That's why he's dangerous. And believe me, I like the way he plays, and I wouldn't want him to play any other way. But this situation last night in New Jersey, he's getting suspended for it.
Yeah, he'll get no dinged question. For that. Two games,
yep, I can agree with that.
Yeah.
First time suspension, young kid. Kids got to understand, you know, keep the chicken wing down. Mm-hmm. Because everything he did up to the point of engaging on the defenseman, it was just the last one, 1,000, 2,000, where he lifted his elbow. Was it to hit him in the head? Was it to brace himself? Who knows? But at the end of the day, it's okay. Reckless. And
okay,
that's it.
Stop for a second. And maybe this is the criminal defense attorney in me. You know, the glove don't fit. You must have quit. I have a question for you. If you go back and watch that hit, okay, please, I just am asking you to go back and watch the hit. This would be my only argument in defense of my client who is on trial for murder here. Okay. Mm-hmm. We've all skated at the boards at very high speeds. Okay.
Thank you. Yep. I was a fast player.
Thomas, you're faster than fucking Rempe. I'll tell you that much right now.
Okay,
You know what? There's one thing. You know what? Craig always pumps up my skill. I don't think you give yourself the straight ahead speed you had when you were going with the puck, Thomas. It was something fierce.
Thanks. Like go ahead. Yeah, with your
like a Ford Model T
hybrid. Go ahead. What's your point? What did he do?
He gets close to the boards. Yeah. I think he realizes that Siegenthaler probably had gotten rid of the puck already and that he shouldn't bury him. Because if he was smart, he would have buried him from the side, but he was so far from the boards, he would have thrown the guy and he would have really gotten hurt. Is there a chance he might have got his elbow up to try to stop himself when he makes contact with the board skating through the hit? I'm not saying he tried to. I just find it hard to believe in today's game that players stick their elbows out.
Yeah, no, I think you make a great point. I think you're dead on, but it's still two games because the elbow connected with the chin. But I'm with you. I think he skates. He realizes that it's too late to hit him.
His feet are size 20. The first thing that are hitting the boards are his fucking toes, and that hurts, okay? If anyone has ever gone feet first, toe first into the boards, it fucking kills.
But I think in the last second, he puts it out to just kind of wants to, you know, graze him in the elbow just to make sure, hey, I'm coming. But unfortunately, Siegenthaler kind of went backwards, and that elbow hit the chin. And it's two games.
Siegenthaler tried to avoid the hit. He knew what he was doing. He threw the puck in. He tries to avoid the hit. Mm-hmm. This is 100% on Matt Rempe. If you watch this and break it down and watch it 200 times, you're going to come to the same conclusion after all 200 times.
But
he lifted his elbow and hit him in the face.
But it, if that elbow hits the bicep or the shoulder area, then it's not, and it's maybe 2 minutes, right?
You might probably not even get a penalty if
depending on how Siegenthaler falls or lands, right?
The problem is a 6'2" guy, Vanner, does the exact same movement. You're hitting him in the shoulder. His elbow is hitting the shoulder.
Now, I don't know. We saw the same hit with Gallagher. He got 5 games. That was way worse. Remember against the Islanders when he came across on, was it Pelech?
Yes, yes, yes.
That was the old chicken wing, and he ain't 6'7", 6'2". He's 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah. So, he's going to get suspended. It's more for the they want to tame him a little bit. You know, he's had some questionable hits with Bastion from New Jersey. Now this one in the last game, Ilya Lyubushkin is now in concussion protocol. I could see them just kind of saying, hey, take a couple days. You got to watch yourself. We know how you play, but you can't be reckless.
That's it. Petey, how are you going to defend that one?
It's fine. He elbowed the guy in the head. I'm not saying that he's going to get off of any kind of suspension. I'm just trying to make a case for the fact that it wasn't intentionally done, and that otherwise you have to call the guy a dirty player.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I like the way he plays, and I'm not going to penalize him for his size. I like that he plays on edge. It doesn't bother me that he can beat anybody up in the league. So I just don't want this guy who came in, you know, with a massive amount of momentum. He's got a lot of haters around the league already, but he's also got a lot of followers. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want people to feel like they have the right to call this guy a dirty player. That's all it is. Simple as that. Yes. You know, because I like the Rangers. I want to see them do well. And I would like to see him be a nice piece, because for years, these types of players have gone away from the game. And they took a lot of abuse from people that didn't understand verbal abuse, but a lot of verbal abuse from people that didn't understand the value of what a player like this can bring to the team. So to see a player like this back, to see him being effective, I just don't want to see him get suspended. I don't want the sideshow, because then it takes away from all the positive that he can bring to the table in his role. That's all it is. That's all it is for me. So I don't know. I've watched this situation very closely, because, you know, over the years, I watched players that did what I did be, I don't want to say put down, because that sounds, but it just means their jobs kind of diminished, but also kind of, you know, spoken down on. But now we have this guy coming in, and he's making a lot of noise. He was doing great stuff. So,
can I ask you this though, Petey?
Now you have all these new journalists and people that cover the game that weren't necessarily around when fighting was at its height, all of a sudden saying, oh, maybe we do like it. Oh, now we're tweeting it and encouraging it. When 5 years ago, you were fucking people that were like, these guys are useless. They don't serve a purpose. They only play 5 minutes a game. They get them out of there. We need more skill. It's hurting the game. Fuck you. That's all I got to say. Fuck you, you fucking weasels.
Jeez, you got angry at the end there.
Well, I was gonna ask you that very question. You know, you look at today's game now, okay, and the speed and the skill set of the players that are playing in today's game, probably about 10 years ago, they very clearly started to make a decision that they wanted to try and rid certain types of players that were playing in the NHL. There was teams that were starting to bring in guys that were, you know, 6'8", 6'7", weighed 250, 60 pounds, and ultimately were there just to fight. Now, do you think that that was good for the game? And now you're starting to see a little bit of a reemergence of some guys that have some size and toughness. Like, do you think it was good for the game 10 years ago?
Okay, listen. 10 years ago, was it good for the game? No, because there was a massive concussion lawsuit going on. That's why it wasn't good for the game. You had the CTE shit going on with the NFL. Everything these sports do is about PR. Like, you don't think deep down behind the scenes in the offices of the NHL, they're saying, we don't want to get rid of fighting. We have to find a way to keep it in the game but not encourage it because our fans love it.
I felt when the fighting was at its peak, there were guys that were so big, so dangerous fighting each other that there was damage being done to each other. And it was dangerous. And a lot of players, I felt that there were players that were not training for hockey. These guys would go into the gym, they'd be training mixed martial arts, boxing, like they wouldn't even worry about getting a skating instructor or something, because all they did is fight. And I think the league wanted to try and calm that down and get that out of the game. Do you not think?
I think they tried to get the stage fighting out of the game more than anything.
Right.
And that's kind of what you're talking about, is those guys who did the boxing, the MMA, they were looking for, you know, talking in warmups right to the other guy, where I think fighting needs to stay in the game just to put fear in the other team and
But there was an agent in Buffalo, and we all know who he is, who had lots of fighters as clients, and he would message them before games, and he would set it up all before this. So you're going to fight this guy in the first shift of this game, or you're going to fight that guy, mm-hmm. or you're going to fight. And it was all set up.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was all behind the scenes. And I remember this happening, because guys would tell me this would happen with this agent. And I was just like, you know, but this Rempe, the Matt Martin fight, the Ryan Reeves fight had a lot of momentum mm-hmm. built up to it. But I don't think if Rempe doesn't go run Labushkin, I don't think they end up fighting.
I don't think so.
Like,
no,
I think the purpose of having those two guys on the ice in that game is just so that things don't elevate. Right. But then,
well, I think Reeves asked Rempe to fight early in that game, if I remember. And Rempe said no. And then even after that hit, Reeves came up again, and you could see Rempe looking over to his bench of kind of like, I'm sure Laviolette told him, hey, kid, we need you to play, not just go out there and do the tour and fight every tough guy.
Yeah.
Well,
he's happy that he can do that.
Have you noticed that he's been asked to fight a lot?
But yeah.
Like he plays in Florida, and the tough guy in Florida who's sitting there going, holy jumping, this is great for my job. I can have this guy who's taken the limelight in the league, and I ask him to fight. He turns down that Gudovich or whatever from Florida. You have McDermott that asked him to fight last night. Mm-hmm. Like, you have players coming up to him now saying, you know, Nick Delorier says, hey, before the game even starts, they're sitting there warming up. The kid's on his knees stretching, and Delorier is sitting there at the red line going, hey, you want to fight?
But I also think these guys think he's beatable. He's no. I remember I said he is Derek Boogaard. He's the size of Boogaard, but he is nowhere near Derek Boogaard. I think
he's very dangerous.
I don't think he punches.
PD, I think you said in one of the episodes is that all the kid's obviously willing, right? But I think with a little help from, you know, a person like you or somebody, and can teach him. I can't teach him anything. Fuck. I heard you say that. He goes, he just needs a few tips of how to do it, and then he's even more dangerous, right?
And becomes a killer. I mean, but listen. I mean, I also think these tough guys too around the league, if you want to call them tough guys, which is kind of, you know, what they are in the modern day.
Yeah.
They're also trying to maintain their relevance.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a relevance to that. And I mean, you know, when we would fight back in the day, you know, you grab a guy in the first period, look, a lot of it was relevance. It was not just your job, but the role in general.
The role in general. But I think these new tough guys, to me, the perfect one is Marcus Foligno.
Yeah, absolutely.
In today's game, he's one of the big boys. 10 yep. years ago, when he first started with us in Buffalo.
Yep.
But he can play. He can skate, right? He can. He can. And what does he make? That's a guy who carved himself a great career and is making $3.5 million.
He is by far, without question, the best tough guy player
of his role.
Well, yeah. I don't know though. I mean, listen, we're gonna you guys are gonna argue with this, but I don't think so. Brady Tkachuk could fight any one of these guys, and he's
okay. Yep.
I really do believe Brady Tkachuk could fight any of these.
Thing is,
guys.
Though, Brady Tkachuk's making $8+ million. You do not want him fighting.
Exactly. Brady Tkachuk, if he fights, you know, as a captain 5-6 times, that's all I need out of him. That's why the Ottawa Senators need Marcus Foligno. Right. So Tkachuk doesn't have to do it. So Marcus Foligno, every team needs him and wants him. And not judged by goals and points, but he can do all those things. I mean, he has had a 20 goal season. He can score. He can set up. He makes great plays.
Well, here's what I'll say. If Rempe signs an extension, what's his contract situation?
He's 21 years old, so.
Sure, he's still in his entry level.
Yeah, he's probably got this year and one more.
He's got 2 years till he's RFA. And where I'm going with this is, do you know who absolutely 100% in the last month definitely earned another contract next year? Curtis McDermott. He's a UFA. Sure. He's a UFA at the end of the year. He's going to garner a lot more action, I think. And Toronto is going to be utilizing Ryan Reeves, I'm sure, a little bit more. And other teams will start to follow suit in that, with the exception of Buffalo, I'm sure. But all I'm saying, that was a little shot there. But all I'm saying is, it seems like it's starting to come back a little bit more. But these guys are disguised as players a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How about John Tortorella and that whole fiasco? 2-game suspension, $50,000 fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is the sole purpose as to why the Philadelphia Flyers have turned things around. I think players love playing for this guy. He is as passionate as it gets.
The love hate. I'm sure there's many, many, many times that they hate him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, he clearly wants the team to do well, wants the players to do well, has to try and push them to their highest abilities. It's pretty impressive what he's done. There's no question. Because I just keep going back to what they got rid of the year before. In their top scorer in Hayes, their top defenseman in Proveroff, they got rid of the defenseman that got put on waivers in Carolina.
D'Angelo.
I mean, these guys were big point-producing players for the team. Mm-hmm. They got rid of those guys and got better.
Mm-hmm.
Ding, 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 ding.
I played for Torts. I told you guys this. I was scared shitless going there. I mean, I had several buddies of mine texting me who played for him before. They're like, have fun. But he's a good guy. I'm like, all right. And he was, he's scary. He can go on a tantrum and he can be all over you. But the next day, it's gone.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Vanner, because you say that you're nervous going into a John Tortorella environment. Mm-hmm. You just came from a Lindy Ruff environment throughout your entire career.
Yeah, and then I didn't have him, and it was a good break for me playing for other coaches.
Right. But was John Tortorella harder than Lindy Ruff?
No. They're the same. They're the same. The only thing I do think Lindy sometimes, when he was pissed at you, I think he took it into the next day. I think he got better at that as I had him longer. Where Torts, my short stint with him, he can be pissed at players, but the next day was a fresh day. He let it go. It was he's a great person. He really, you can just by talking to him, listening to him on a daily basis, he freaking cares. And I mean, he shows his passion, his emotion sometimes, you know, like it at the other night, the standoff. And yeah, players feed off him. I mean,
which the owner is paying his fine. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I think the president said that right away, right?
Yeah. If that was in Buffalo here, you'd need a pizza place to...
That's right.
Pesci's Pizza, man. Pesci's Pizza raised 10 grand for Lindy's fine for the Ottawa brawl. Riv knows
Pesci's Pizza, 10 grand?
Riv knows the Pesci Pizza guy.
Yep.
Fucking huge after the whistle fan.
Anyway,
so
guy,
so he's getting free advertisement on here now? Come on, no, Riv.
No, Riv just gets free pepperoni every time he mentions his.
Okay.
He's like,
so I guess pizza for dinner tonight, huh?
Riv's hops in the tub with a big stick of pepperoni and a scotch.
Nothing.
Yeah, I'll be waiting for a large pepperoni. I'll be waiting for the large pepperoni tonight.
Pesci's Pizza makes the bubbles and the. And the tub smell better. Thanks, Banner.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. One more reminder, the Hoops Hangout for March Madness. Go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.